This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, June 30th, 2017. Coming up this hour,
U.S. equities look to close out the quarter on a strong note after yesterday's sell-off.
Nike shares gain following an upbeat forecast of plans to sell directly to Amazon and Instagram users.
In China, manufacturing data eases concern about momentum in the world's second largest economy.
President Trump plans to meet with Vladimir Putin next week. Will Russian election interference come up on the G20 sidelines? I'm Nathan Hager. That story and more coming up.
I'm Rob Buschka, ahead in sports. Yankees split the series with the White Sox. Mets take 2 of 3 in South Beach. And Coach Cal to the Knicks?
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning. Welcome to Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Mike LeBarn.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, and futures are higher. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 31, NASDAQ futures up 16, DAX in Germany's up 0.2%, the CAC in Paris up 0.5%, FTSE 100, little change. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.9%, Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.26%, the yield on the 2-year, 1.36%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 35 cents to $45.28 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.20 to $12.43.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1409, and the yen, 111.95.
In Europe this morning, equities are trading higher, and one firm says that trend will continue. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Caroline Hepker has the details from our London bureau.
Good morning, Michael and Karen. Investors hung up about Brexit may be missing out on a buying opportunity in the UK stock market. That's according to JP Morgan Asset Management. UK equities offer good value because the FTSE 100 price to earnings ratio of 14.9% adjusted for inflation is well below the longer run average. JP Morgan adds that with the global economy set to expand, investors shouldn't get too fixated on Brexit. And the UK economy is continuing to grow. A final reading of GDP this morning showed an annualised growth rate in the first quarter of 0.9% versus the US's 1.4%. Caroline Hepker, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thanks, Caroline. In China, the official factory gauge concluded the first half of the year on a robust note, indicating momentum in the Chinese economy. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
The manufacturing PMI increased to 51.7 in June, compared with an estimate of 51 even in a Bloomberg survey. New export orders did rise to 52 even, the highest level since 2012. Now, economic activity this year has proven more robust than expected. This is giving policymakers more room to focus on controlling risk and cooling the property sector. Non-manufacturing up to 54.9 compared to 54.5 a month ago. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Brian. Stocks in Asia today followed yesterday's sell-off on Wall Street, with tech stocks like Samsung and Nintendo leading declines. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has the details from Hong Kong.
Good morning, Karen and Michael. Well, Japan's Nikkei 225 index lost almost 1%. Data out of the country showing inflation picked up for a fifth consecutive month in May, rising 0.4% year on year, so still well below the BOJ's 2% target. Australia's S&P ASX 200 slid 1.7%, its biggest one-day drop since November, but stocks in Shanghai and Shenzhen rose on a strong June PMI reading out of China and amid speculation of state-based buying ahead of Saturday's 20-year anniversary of the handover of Hong Kong to China from British colonial rule. Despite Friday's sell-off, it is worth looking at the bigger picture. The MSCI Asia-Pacific Index rose 1.3% over the month of June, well above the average decline of around 0.5% for regional stocks in the month. It also notched up a sixth straight month of gains. That's the longest streak since November 2012 to April 2013. And June was also the best quarter for regional stocks since December 2007, the MSCI index rising 5.3% in the period. Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. Here in the U.S., Nike is up 6.8% in early trading after reporting profit that beat analyst estimates. Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti has more.
Nike posted profit of 60 cents a share compared with a 50 cent estimate from analysts. The company also delivered a rosy forecast, saying it expects sales to increase by a mid to high single digit percentage this year. The upbeat forecast follows a slowdown at Nike that had raised concerns it was losing its edge to competitors. In its report yesterday, Nike also announced plans to sell sneakers directly to Amazon and Instagram users. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Gina. Shares of Micron Technology are up 3% pre-market after reporting profit that beat estimates. Micron stock has surged more than 40% this year, and the chipmaker is on course to report record revenue and profit.
In Germany this morning, shares of Bayer down almost 4% after the company cut its forecast for the year. The company sees full-year earnings reduced by about $400 million due to struggles from its crop division in Brazil.
The Security and Exchange Commissions are scrutinizing how hedge fund divvy up the stock from the initial public offerings. That's according to people familiar with the matter who say regulators are concerned that lucrative trades associated with IPOs are inappropriately enriching a select few. The SEC has found instances where firms directed winning trades to their own employees and favored clients.
Heading into the last trading day of the quarter, the S&P 500 is up 1% for the second quarter. The Dow is heading for a gain of 0.8%, and the NASDAQ is up 4% in the quarter. Futures this morning, meanwhile, are moving higher. S&P futures up 5 points, so they could add to those stats. Dow futures up 41. NASDAQ futures are up about 19. Stocks also moving higher in Europe today. The DAX in Germany up 0.3%. CAC in Paris up 0.6%. The FTSE 100 up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury, little change this morning. Yield 2.26%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.36%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 39 cents to $45.31 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2.80 to $12.43 an ounce. The euro, $1.1409, and the British pound, $1.2992. The yen, 111.98. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at what's happening in and around the world. Nathan Hager is standing by in the 99.1 newsroom in Washington. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. Could Russian election interference become an issue at next week's G20 summit? President Trump could face pressure to bring it up when he meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin on the sidelines in Hamburg next week. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster confirmed the two leaders will meet for the first time at that summit. He says there's not a set agenda. But with U.S.-Russian relations at historic lows and investigations into Russian election meddling widening, this could provide a key test for President Trump on the foreign stage. This morning, the president meets with South Korea's leader, Moon Jae-in.
I know you've been discussing with our people some of the complexities of North Korea and trade and other things, and we'll be discussing them all.
That was before dinner last night at the White House. This morning, the two leaders visit the Korean War Veterans Memorial. They'll also issue a joint statement from the White House. Bloomberg Radio will bring that to you live. The revised Trump travel ban is in effect, even as it faces yet another court challenge.
Our concern is that the U.S. government's interpretation of close family relationship is a little bit too narrow.
Hawaii Attorney General Doug Chin says he wants a judge to clarify whether the government is following Supreme Court guidelines. The justices ruled that visitors from six mostly Muslim nations could be denied entry unless they have a close relationship with someone in the U.S. The State Department says that includes children, spouses, siblings, or fiancés, but not grandparents, aunts, or uncles. The Congressional Budget Office is out with a new long-term score on the Senate Republican health care bill. It finds it would cut Medicaid spending by about 35% over the next 20 years, from 2% of GDP now to 1.6% by the year 2036. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is considering making up some of that by setting aside $45 billion over the next decade to deal with the opioid epidemic. But health experts and state officials say that would not be enough to cover reductions to the core Medicaid program. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. Time now to take a look at the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update at 6:09 on Wall Street. Standing by, here is Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Michael. It was a day to forget for the Yankees as they split the four-game set on the south side of Chicago, falling to the White Sox 4-3.
And the pitch. A swing and a line drive to left field. That's going to get down and go to the wall. That bounces off the wall. Two runs are scoring. Garcia going for two. He makes it sliding with a two-run double.
White Sox radio on the call. Tough day for Aaron Judge, who doesn't have many, but he was robbed of a home run on a leaping grab over the fence by Melky Cabrera, and then he struck out with the go-ahead runs aboard to end the game. Not only was it a getaway day for New York, there was a near three-hour rain delay to start the game, and then rookie Dustin Fowler, making his big league debut, ruptured his patella tendon, had to be carted off the field. No time to dwell as they continue the road trip in Houston, who owns the best record in baseball. It's Michael Pineda and Lance McCullers Jr. at 8:10. The Mets, they've won five of their last six on the road. On the heels of sweeping the Giants, they took two of three in South Beach, capped by a 6-3 win over the Marlins. They return to Citi Field tonight to face the Phillies. Ben Lively battles Jacob DeGrom. An NBA free agency starts on Saturday, yet rumors already running rampant over Knicks leadership. Reports surfaced Thursday that Isaiah Thomas may be a candidate to return. Thomas later said he wasn't interested. And college coach John Calipari of Kentucky, he's said to have reached out to the Knicks through third parties about being both president and coach. And then Calipari later tweeted he's happy at Kentucky. Some of the highly coveted names that'll be on the free agent market next week, Blake Griffin, along with Gordon Hayward of the Utah Jazz. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Michael?
Thanks, Rob. And coming up this evening on the Bloomberg Business of Sports, we'll hear from Turner Sports President David Levy on the changing business of broadcasting and the evolution of cable TV.
We don't even call ourselves in the television business anymore. We say we're in the content creation, distribution, data business.
A wide-ranging conversation with Turner Sports President David Levy. That's coming up on Bloomberg Business of Sports tonight at 8 p.m. Wall Street time. Taking a quick data check, the S&P futures up 0.25%. The Dow also up 0.25%. The Nasdaq up almost 0.4%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Mark's Penneth LLP. Whether you're a U.S.-based company expanding your reach or a foreign company looking to do business in the U.S., Mark's Penneth's international tax professionals provide the support you need. Learn more at markspenneth.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow at 617 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. A modicum of calm has returned to European bond markets, though the week's move in German 10-year bunds is the biggest since 2015. Bloomberg strategist Mark Cranfield cautions that Treasury futures are now well below 126, and things could get ugly if the contract slips below 125 early next month. Consumer prices are in focus in the US, with the core PCE deflator due out at 8:30 a.m. Economists say the Fed's preferred measure of inflation may have slowed to 1.4% in May. The SEC is looking into how hedge funds divvy up IPO stock. People familiar with the matter say regulators worry that shares are being given to underperforming funds for a quick pop in returns. And the US and Russia may be on the brink of a new Cold War, but that's not stopping Americans from traveling there. Greg Tepper, who runs a luxury travel company, says he hasn't seen this much interest since the late 1980s. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. And futures are higher. S&P futures up 6 points. Dow futures up 50. NASDAQ futures up 23. DAX in Germany's up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.26%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.36%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 36 cents to $45.29 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.70 to $12.43.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1408. The yen, 111.99. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more on what's going on around the world. Nathan.
Karen, no official word on whether election interference will come up, speaking of U.S.-Russian relations at a low ebb, but the White House confirms President Trump is meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin on the sidelines of the G20 summit next week. President Trump's revised travel bans in effect, so is a new court challenge. Hawaii is asking a judge to clarify whether the administration's following Supreme Court guidance that people from the six affected nations can be allowed in if they have a close family relationship. Mets, Red Sox, and Orioles are winners in sports. Yankees, Nationals, and A's lose. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal. Got your 4th of July plans all set? Well, if you don't, might want to hear this because our neighbors up north are already getting the jump on us. Canada Day is tomorrow. This year, it's the 150th anniversary of the founding of our neighbor up north, so might feel a little like bicentennial north of the border.
Nathan, I used to live in Detroit, and right next to Detroit is Windsor, Ontario, and I had big fun. Did a lot of stuff and some stuff y'all don't need to know about.
Well,
I had fun.
If you want to know about the big fun for this year's Canada Day, Ottawa, of course, the capital, is the place to be. Like the good old U.S. of A., there will be fireworks, but unlike the United States, there will be a performance from Bono. Maybe next year for our 4th of July. That'd be kind of cool. Yeah, Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And joining us this morning is Bloomberg's Elena Shuleteva. And we have heard some hawkish talk from the Fed and bankers. When will it show up in policy?
Well, you know, financial stability concerns appear to be very high on policymakers' radar. And that seems to be pushing the Fed's hand to continue to gradually tighten policy. And that is happening despite missing on the inflation target. What's interesting is that financial conditions, as tracked by Bloomberg's Financial Conditions Index, you can find it on the terminal FCON Go, show that financial conditions are really, really easy. And that is definitely a concern for policymakers. But they are missing on one of the most targets they have. They're missing on the inflation target. In fact, inflation has decelerated as of late.
And speaking of that, inflation data is going to be released at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Is that something we can expect?
Absolutely. So we're probably going to see deceleration, and that's reflected in the consensus survey, in consensus expectations for core PCE index. And that was already reflected in the CPI index earlier this month. So that is happening partially because wireless services prices are declining due to price wars in the industry, but it's not the only reason. Consumer prices, excluding wireless services, are also decelerating. In fact, they decelerated from just 2.4% to 2% in the latest reading if you exclude those wireless services prices. And it happened just over the past 5 months.
Now, next week, we have some key moments. The Fed minutes, they'll take place on Wednesday.
Absolutely. And analysts will be watching for any further clues about the timing of the beginning of the balance sheet unwind. The Fed released a very detailed plan as to what they're going to do in terms of caps and how they will do it. But the main thing that was missing from the plan is when they're going to start. Any hints in that direction will be very interesting.
And another big moment. Next Friday, the government releases its jobs report. What can we expect from that?
This will be probably a very positive one because of more summer hiring that we might see in the months of June. So we know that job openings are booming, and probably this year more summer hiring than in the last few years will help boost the June reading on payrolls. But we also expect the unemployment rate to back up a little bit because of increased participation.
Yelena Shuletova from Bloomberg Intelligence, thank you. Bloomberg Intelligence provides unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government facts that impact business. Our terminal customers can access this function at BIGO. Let's take a look at the data check. The S&P futures up 0.25%. The Dow futures also up 0.25%. The NASDAQ up more than 0.3%. The 10-year yield at 2.27. The 2-year yield at 1.37. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Bank of America Merrill Lynch, dedicated to bringing our clients insights and solutions to meet the challenges of a transforming world. That's the power of global connections. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner & Smith Incorporated, member SIPC.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. Welcome to Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Michael Barr.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It's 6:30 on Wall Street. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Bayer will cut its sales and profit forecast for this year because of unexpectedly high stockpiling of crop protection products in Brazil. The company says its full-year earnings will be reduced by $350 to $450 million. Shares of Bayer currently down about 4% in Frankfurt.
Deutsche Bank is looking to boost revenue from M&A advising by 25% in the U.S. The bank is currently hiring to replenish that division's ranks.
Here in the U.S., the Commerce Department issues data on consumer spending at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast spending increased 0.1% in May. And Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has more.
Economists at Bloomberg Intelligence say today's data will help gauge the prior month's rebound. In April, consumer spending advanced 0.4%, the most since December, following a lackluster first quarter. The outlook for May is iffy. Industry data show the pace of motor vehicle sales lost momentum last month. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. Nike shares are up 6.2% in early trading after the company delivered a rosy forecast and announced plans to let Amazon and Instagram users buy its sneakers directly. The upbeat forecast follows a slowdown in Nike that raised concerns the sporting goods giant was losing its edge.
According to people familiar with the matter, the Securities and Exchange Commission is scrutinizing how hedge funds and other money managers divvy up stock they get from initial public offerings. Regulators are concerned the shares of newly listed companies are being moved to underperforming funds to bolster returns or to enrich employees and favored clients.
Time now for the Volatility Index Report. The VIX was up 14% yesterday to close at 11.44. And separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are down, and it is trading at 11.18. And that's this morning's volatility report.
And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 6 points. Dow futures up 52. NASDAQ futures up about 20. We've been seeing futures gain throughout the morning. The DAX in Germany's up 0.3%. CAC in Paris up 0.7%. FTSE 100 up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 2.27%. The yield on the 2-year 1.36%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 42 cents to $45.35 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $3.10 to $12.42.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.1402, and the yen is at 112.03. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
It is 6:33 on Wall Street. Time now for news in and around the world, brought to you by Eisner Amper International Tax Professionals. Multinational companies must prepare for tax reform. Transfer pricing? New territorial tax system, cash reparations, EisnerAmper.com/2017tax reform. Nathan Hager is in the 99.1 newsroom in Washington. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. It is likely to be a high-stakes encounter. The White House says President Trump meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin on the sidelines of the G20 next week in Hamburg. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster says the leaders don't have a set agenda yet, but the face-to-face does come amid multiple federal investigations into possible collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign during last year's election. This morning, the president meets again with South Korean leader Moon Jae-in. They had dinner last night at the White House, after which the president tweeted that they had a very good meeting discussing many subjects, including North Korea and a new trade deal. Later this morning, the two leaders give a joint statement from the White House. Bloomberg Radio will have that for you live. The new Trump travel ban is in effect this morning. Apparently, after some last-minute tweaks, the administration added fiancés of people in the U.S. to the list of visitors who would be exempt from the ban on entries from six mostly Muslim nations. Heather Nauert speaks for the State Department.
We received the family definition from federal law. And we received the family definition. And for whatever reason, it doesn't include grandparents, but we were just going along with what federal law states.
But she says it does include parents, children, in-laws, and fiancés. Now, shortly before the ban took effect, the state of Hawaii issued a new legal challenge asking a judge to clarify whether the administration's following Supreme Court instructions over who's covered under the ban. Same-sex marriage is now legal in Germany.
Mit Ja haben gestimmt 393.
Lawmakers voted 393 to 226 in favor of legalizing marriage for everybody. Among the 226 no votes, German Chancellor Angela Merkel says she still believes marriage should be limited to a man and a woman. Simone Veil has died, the Holocaust survivor who went on to become the French health minister who legalized abortion in France in 1975. Was consistently one of France's most popular political figures. Simone Veil, dead today at the age of 89. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg, Michael.
Thank you, Nathan. 6:35 on Wall Street. Now with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, a good morning to Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Michael. Fortunately for the Yankees, tomorrow's another day.
Now, Robertson is set to go. Be a 2-2 to Judge. He struck him out swinging, breaking ball. Ball game over. White Sox win.
Yankees radio, this was a tough one all around, 4-3. The final Yankees and White Sox split a four-game series. What was significant about that strikeout is Aaron Judge was at the plate representing the go-ahead run. He was also robbed of a home run by Melky Cabrera on a leaping grab over the fence. Rookie Dustin Fowler making his debut ruptured his patella tendon, tracking down a foul ball, colliding with the wall in the first inning of his big league career. And the toppers. The game was delayed by just shy of 3 hours due to Mother Nature. New York continues its road trip in Houston, where the best record in baseball, the Astros, await. Lance McCullers Jr. hosts Michael Pineda at 8:10. Mets have won 5 of 6. It was just a week ago they were swept by the Dodgers in L.A. But Terry Collins, their skipper, likes their resiliency.
Yeah, I thought they played very well. And again, it shows you they didn't get down. You know, they didn't pack up all and went home. They showed up every day and played hard, and we got some good pitching and got some big hits.
The Mets return home to host the Phillies. Jacob DeGrom on the mound. A's lost their series in Houston. Giants were idle. Dodgers split a four-game set with the Angels. And forget the NBA players and their free agency. The rumors are more juicy regarding Knicks leadership. Reports surfaced Thursday the team may be considering Isaiah Thomas to return. He later said he's not interested. And Kentucky's John Calipari, former Nets coach, was said to have reached out to New York about being president and head coach. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Michael?
Thanks, Nathan. China's President Xi Jinping is in Hong Kong today to commemorate 20 years of Chinese rule in the former British colony. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel is there and has this report.
We're here at the Shek Kong Airfield, a former British airbase until 20 years ago, of course, when it handed over, along with Hong Kong, to China and the PLA, the People's Liberation Army. And President Xi Jinping addressed thousands of mainland soldiers lined all the way up and down this airstrip as President Xi rode in an open-top car vehicle addressing the soldiers saying, "Tongzhimen hao," hello comrades, "Tongzhimen xinku le," meaning good work, comrades. It was definitely a show of force and a bit surreal for a reporter like me who has been in and out of Hong Kong now for some 27 years, lived here before the handover and after the handover. Never have I seen such a display from the People's Liberation Army, and from most accounts coming from China, likely we will see here in Hong Kong more of a show of force, if you will, or a display of the military in Hong Kong going forward. Stephen Engel, Bloomberg News in the new territories, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Stephen. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
Federal agencies are spending more money hiring first-time vendors, nearly three-quarters of which are small businesses. And being a contractor for Uncle Sam can even be a pleasant experience for a small business.
The government is very attuned to the needs of small business.
Bloomberg BNA reporter Paul Murphy did an analysis of first-time government vending.
Over the years, they have developed a variety of tools, including preference programs and set-aside programs, but also a lot of support within the agencies.
As a small business, you also need to know where to look for government work. The Departments of State, Agriculture, Energy, Homeland Security, Interior, and Transportation all grew both spending and new vendor utilization in fiscal year 2016. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
Thank you, John. It is 6:39 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
Given past comments and the personalities involved, this week's summit between Donald Trump and South Korean President Moon Jae-in could easily go off the rails. That's why both sides need to set aside domestic political considerations and deal with their most pressing issue, North Korea. Encouragingly, Moon's administration seems in recent days to have reached the same conclusion. The greater burden lies on Trump. He's roiled relations by complaining about the cost of stationing U.S. troops on the Korean Peninsula. Trump has also threatened to scrap the Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement. Trump should handle any disagreements with Moon as he did with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Quietly. The trade deal, for instance, is good for both sides. It can be improved around the margins and better enforced without histrionics. The U.S. should also work through South Korea to develop alternate channels of communication to the North. As Moon has noted, he and Trump share the same goal, a denuclearized Korean Peninsula. To achieve it, they'll have to work together. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com. And View go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. A quick data check. The S&P futures up 0.25%. The Dow futures up 0.2%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more. Get more. Visit MyNYCB.com for details.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETF. So why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. U.S. stock index futures are higher. NYMEX crude oil also gaining this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are climbing after yesterday's losses. Dow futures currently higher by 45 points. S&P's gained 6, while the NASDAQ futures climbed by 25. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.27%, and Japan dropped 0.9% overnight. Well, European markets are rising today, led by gains in France and Spain. Back in the U.S., on the economic front at 8:30, personal income spending and PCE deflator. At 9:45, Chicago PMI, and at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment estimate 94.5. After the bell last night, Micron Q4 EPS view topped estimates. Shares are up 2.6% in the pre-market, while Nike EPS beat the highest estimates. Its shares rise 6.6% in the pre-market. In other news, Berkshire Hathaway to exercise warrants to buy 700 million Bank of America shares. And wrapping things up over at Bank of America, AmerisourceBergen cut to neutral, Cabot Oil raised to buy, and REMAX cut to underperform, and D.R. Horton raised to outperform over at Raymond James. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type SQUAWK on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more on what's going on around the world. Nathan.
Karen, President Trump will meet with Russia's Vladimir Putin at the G20 next week in Germany. The White House isn't saying whether the president will bring up interference in the U.S. presidential election. Russia's foreign minister says the U.S. wants to overcome an abnormality in ties. This morning, the president's focusing on the Senate Republican health care bill. Moments ago, he tweeted, quote, "If Republican senators are unable to pass what they are working on now, they should immediately repeal and then replace at a later date," end quote. GOP leaders put off a vote on their bill until after next week's July 4th recess so they could work out their differences. Wins for the Mets, Red Sox, and Orioles. Losses for the Yankees, Nationals, and A's. Finally, from daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, U.S.-Russian relations may be at an historic low. But don't tell that to American tourists. Interest in trips to Russia from the U.S. is way up. In fact, one luxury travel booker says he hasn't seen anything like this since the end of the Cold War in the late 80s.
I was wondering about that. I wonder if the curiosity about what's happening in Moscow, if that was going to drive tourism.
Well, you know, it doesn't hurt that prices are low at the moment, but, you know, so do some new sites in Russia. New Holland Island is a new must-see destination in St. Petersburg, for example. The long-abandoned shipyard was built by Peter the Great, recently went through a redevelopment project. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg View. Republican efforts to reform Medicaid are more defensible than commonly portrayed. A 2015 study found that recipients get only 20 to 40 cents of benefit for every dollar governments spend on Medicaid. Researchers have struggled to find any positive effects it has on beneficiaries' physical health. The Congressional Budget Office predicts that in 2026, 15 million fewer Americans will be on Medicaid if the Senate Republican bill passes than if it doesn't, because Medicaid at least provides some peace of mind. That's a disturbingly high number. But it's also likely exaggerated. It assumes that as soon as Obamacare's fines on people without insurance are lifted, 4 million people will stop seeking Medicaid. Is that really plausible? If it is, how valuable are these benefits? And will states really throw millions of people off the Medicaid rolls when the legislation ensures that they'll save less than 50 cents for every dollar cut? The Republican Medicaid reforms are likely to save less money and result in higher coverage levels than the CBO expects. At the same time, they'll improve the program's design. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Green Report, and here's Bob Moon.
A month before Donald Trump became president, the head of Dow Chemical spoke in praise of Trump at a rally in Michigan.
You're paving the way with your administration, with your policies, to make it easier to do business in this country.
Within months, Dow chief Andrew Liveris was handed a favorable decision rejecting a ban on a widely used Dow pesticide shown to cause neurological damage, particularly in the brains of children. The new Trump administration's top environmental official reversed his agency's moves to stop the spraying of Dow's chlorpyrifos on food, even though Environmental Protection Agency scientists concluded ingesting even minuscule amounts can interfere with the brain development of fetuses and infants. Now, the Associated Press reports it's obtained records showing EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt met privately with the Dow chief 20 days before siding with Dow. The records show the two met for about half an hour at a Houston hotel where both men were speakers at an industry conference. An EPA spokeswoman says Pruitt was briefly introduced to Liveris at the conference and that they did not discuss chlorpyrifos. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thank you, Bob. Time now to check on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump meeting with South Korean President Moon Jae-in. The two leaders will deliver joint statements following their meeting, and we'll bring you their coverage live right here on Bloomberg Radio. This morning, the U.S. Institute of Peace holds a Facebook discussion on Iraq, Syria, and Islamic State. And this afternoon, the U.S. Agriculture Department issues its International Food Security Assessment Report. For more on what's going on in Washington, we bring in Bloomberg's Ari John, who is joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line, your nationwide provider of scalable fiber network services and managed cloud solutions. Ari, just a few moments ago, President Trump, he sent out a tweet about the Republican health care plan. What did he say?
He said that if Senate Republicans can't repeal and replace, that they should just go ahead to repeal and then replace it later, which is interesting because many months ago, 6 months ago, that was the plan, to pass a repeal bill that said 2 years out, Obamacare will be repealed, and give themselves the same sort of time that Obama had to pass the ACA in the first place. But that bill was shot down because there would be too much confusion for the insurance markets, too long of a timeline of uncertainty. And so now it seems like we've sort of come full circle. They tried to do it to pass a health care bill quickly. The senators have gone home for the July 4th recess, and now Trump is saying, if you guys can't get it done, then just at least get rid of Obamacare.
Well, in that case, that also means no tax break.
Yeah, exactly. If there's no Obamacare repeal in place, that endangers the tax break, that endangers the tax reform, the money, the savings to use for the tax reform. And it also still leaves that uncertainty for the millions of Americans to rely on this law. If there's no Obamacare, if replace is several years down the line, then there's just years of uncertainty for the markets, for people, for everyone.
Turning to foreign policy now, what do we know about the agenda for President Trump's meeting with South Korea's President Moon today?
They're expected to talk about the U.S.-South Korea trade deal and about North Korea. Both of those are slightly contentious issues. On the trade deal, President Trump has said that deal is horrible, while the South Korean president has praised the deal. On North Korea, South Korea is more willing to engage with North Korea to sort of thaw relations between them, while the U.S. would like to see North Korea meet certain preconditions before meeting with them. Mm-hmm. So it's a completely different approach on both sides.
And from South Korea to North Korea, President Trump had hoped China would play a role in calming tensions with North Korea. So far, that has not been the case. Any hope of any progress?
Right. We saw earlier this year when Democrats and Republicans alike wanted President Trump to call China a currency manipulator. He had promised that on the campaign trail, but as president, he said, you know, like, why would I call them a currency manipulator when I want them to help with China? And that has not happened. And meanwhile, China is a major trading partner with North Korea, so they also have their own considerations for how they want to handle that relationship.
And Reed, the president's travel ban took effect last night. Yet at the same time, it's facing a new court challenge from Hawaii. Is there any indication as to how this will play out in the coming days?
Yeah, so Hawaii wants to know what counts as a bona fide relationship. The new regulations put out by the State Department defining who counts and who doesn't count as a close familial relationship were a little unclear. Parents, spouses, children, and in-laws and siblings count, but your grandparents aren't a close family relationship. The State Department reversed its decision on fiancés. Now, fiancé is a close personal relationship. Nieces and nephews are not. So I think that the Hawaii order would just like to challenge the Trump administration's definition of what counts as a close familial relationship. And we expect to see more clarification on that.
Bloomberg's Arete John joining us on our phone line, sponsored by Spectrum Enterprise, your nationwide provider of scalable fiber network services and managed cloud solutions. You can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on Bloomberg Terminals. And reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Coming up, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura. And David joins us now. David, what's coming up?
Hey, Michael, we're going to catch up with Dennis Gartman. He's the editor of the Gartman Letter. David Rubenstein, the co-founder and co-CEO of the Carlyle Group, is going to be here as well. We'll talk economics at Harm Bandholtz. And Bob Profusek will join us. He's the global chair of the mergers and acquisitions practice at Jones Day. There is no shortage of material to talk about there when it comes to deals coming together and, yes, falling apart as well.
David, thank you very much. That's straight ahead on Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura. A quick check of data in the futures. The Dow futures up 0.25%. The Dow futures also up 0.25%. NASDAQ futures up 0.4%. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak.